This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Yes, it's back, 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 back again. Shady's back, back, back. Tell a friend, friend, friend. Guess who's back? 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 Guess who's back?
Second hour of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. If you ever miss anything from the show, catch it on demand. Search ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcasts. We were talking golf last hour with Jeremy Schilling, as we do every Wednesday. We'll get back to the LIV Golf Tour coming up, but it allows me to remind you of our 2022 Summer Golf Tour. Every Monday morning at 8 a.m., more foursomes are released to a different golf course each and every week. And coming up Monday at 8 a.m., it'll be the links at Stono Ferry. You can get yourself a foursome for just 98.9. All you have to do is head over to charlestonsportsradio.com Monday morning, starting at 8 a.m., to get your foursome. And get them while you can before they sell out, because they go real quick. Monday morning, 8 a.m. Set your alarm, mark the calendar, be ready to go. CharlestonSportsRadio.com. We've been mentioning it throughout the week. You've probably heard it talked about in other places. You maybe have even seen the video by now. If you haven't, go look it up. But this past weekend, we had the Cooper Hill cheese rolling event in England, where a bunch of people go darting down a steep hill after a wheel of cheese. And the winner was a recent North Carolina State grad from North Carolina. Abby Lampe was the winner. Go watch the video. It's enthralling. It's wild. It's crazy. She was the winner. She got to the cheese. And we're going to try to link up with Abby now as she continues her world travels. Let's see if we have her. Abby, good afternoon. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. How are y'all?
Doing well. Appreciate the time. We saw the video. We loved it. We've been talking about it these last couple days. Let me first ask you, just why? Why is this something that you wanted to do, go down this hill, potentially risk injury, all for a wheel of cheese?
I really wanted to do this because I've seen it for years now. I feel like you can't even miss this event whenever it happens. You see all these videos and clips of people falling down. So I've seen it for a while. This was the first year that it's actually aligned for me to go over to England and participate. So I was just ecstatic to be able to, and I love sporting events. I am a huge sporter. I'm a huge competitor. I've played 3 sports growing up, and I love being active and just doing things adventurous. And so people say it's on brand for me to be competing in this event, and let alone win, which is absolutely crazy.
Yeah, it is wild. It's crazy, especially after you watch the video and saw, you know, the tumble you took, to think that, wow, that's still the girl that actually won the whole thing. How do you you played sports growing up, right? And you practice, you could train for those. How do you practice for something like this?
I think what really came down to it was watching the first and second race on Sunday. So there were 3 downhill races that happened for the men on Sunday for the Cooper's Hill. I watched the first 2, and then the women's had another one, and then the men had the one to finish it all up. So to analyze that, I recorded it and then played it back right before my my race on Sunday. And I looked at it. I had watched hours of film leading up to this event, like the week prior and a few weeks before then. And I had practiced a little bit about rolling down hills in Dorothea Dix. They have very, very, very small hills, which is a park next to NC State. They have like not very steep hills at all. So I was not very prepared. But on Friday, I actually went to Gloucester, got there a little early to scope out the hill, and I did a test run there. So I think that was where I got my experience from. But yeah, nothing really prepares you for this event. You have to, it was crazy.
Yeah, I can imagine. So I love it, though. You're watching film. You're scouting the area. You're the Bill Belichick of cheese races. as you said, right, nothing can prepare you. Was it everything as you went through it, and now that you look back on it, was it everything that you expected it was going to be, or was it even, you know, a crazy experience for you knowing that this was something you wanted to do and you were looking forward to?
I definitely did not think that I was going to be rolling the entire time. I thought I was going to get up a little bit and then stumble down, but be able to run a few more stances. But when I took my first few steps, I was sprinting. I just ate it. I just kept rolling and rolling, and my face was getting smushed by the dirt and the mud that happened to be on the hill because it had been raining for 3 days straight almost. It was just an unbelievable and crazy event, and I was not expecting it. I really, on Friday when I did my test run, I only walked down it basically, so I had no idea what to expect. But I guess me rolling down that hill, it was what I expected as well as what I didn't expect.
Yeah, talking about Abby Lampe, who won the cheese race this past weekend in England. Go watch the video if you haven't seen it already. It's perfect for those internet memes where you know, it's like out of a movie where you say you may be asking how I got in this position or how I got here. When you see yourself rolling down, was it pain? You just described it as you were rolling down, your face is smacking up against the mud and the hill as you're rolling down. Was it painful as it was happening? Are you sore, banged up, injured afterwards? How did you walk away from this whole thing?
I'm a little bruised. I'm recovering from some soreness as well. And I thought I might have like a concussion yesterday because my head started hurting. But I think I was just dehydrated and I was running on 2 hours of sleep because I just got in from England yesterday, and I'm now in Barcelona, Spain. So it's been a crazy ride. When I was tumbling, it was a little painful. I was flipping over and over again. But my thoughts when I was going flipping, I was just thinking, you know, it's only going to last a few more seconds. I can endure whatever it takes to win. And I'm so glad I did. The hard work and the injuries really did pay off.
And is it just the cheese that you're going after? I know obviously you've got a bunch of notoriety.
That's the cheese. It's an eight pound block of cheese. Yeah, it's bragging rights and 8 pounds of cheese. So, I mean, If you're older and you don't have much to lose, I say go for it. But if you are older and you got some stuff to lose, I maybe wouldn't participate unless you want to fully send it.
Yeah, I guess so. You make Wallace and Gromit proud with all that cheese. Speaking of the bragging rights and notoriety, who, after all this, who's like the craziest person? Have you heard from some sort of even celebrity, or obviously NC State, I'm sure, has reached out? Who's like the craziest person that after seeing this, they reached out and congratulated you on what happened over the weekend?
Wow. So many people have reached out, which has been so amazing. Roy Cooper, the governor of North Carolina, shouted me out on Twitter and on Facebook, which was kind of amazing to see. NC State has been in contact with me multiple times. We're lining something up coming soon. And it's just, I had no idea that it was going to be reaching this many people, let alone all these platforms. So an Australian talk show, they reached out to me today, and there's going to be a video for them to play on, I think it might be national television there.
Wow.
So it's just cross-continental. It's been amazing. I think just women's sports also posted me on Instagram. So a lot of these people are like reposting or posting on Instagram because I guess Instagram is now the way to go when you're, forget newspapers. It's all about Instagram.
Yeah.
And they posted me, and Megan Kalenberg, I think that's how you pronounce her name. She's a U.S. women's national soccer player. She liked the post, which means she saw it. And I'm a huge women's national soccer team, I guess, follower. I've loved them. I played soccer growing up. So it was an honor to see that she even saw the post. But it's been amazing.
Yeah, I can imagine. It's made global news, as you said. A couple last things before we let you go. Now that you've won, would you do it again? Would you defend the title and go down there again?
Yeah, I might. It depends on whether my job will give me a few days off next year when I start. But I mean, I've been telling people I'm only this young once, so I'm only getting older, and it's gonna hurt more and more every year that I wait. So if I wanted to do it, I should probably do it sooner rather than later.
Yeah, it's true. It's a good point. And I also thought, as you mentioned your travels, you're now in Spain. I thought it was a bit of a bold move to do this. I know you have your trip going on like all summer. You're going all over the place.
I know. My parents reminded me. My dad made that very clear. He said, Abby, if you break your collarbone, you're coming back to the U.S. You're not going to be able to. I have some trips lined up. I'm going to Greece in July. I'm going to Sweden and France and Portugal and back to the UK for some concerts. So he said, your trip is going to get cut short if you do get injured like this. And let alone a few years ago, Flo Early, who is a four-time cheese champion from this, she's the one who's won it the most out of anyone. She broke her collarbone a few years ago doing this. So going in, I was not that scared. I don't think I was scared at all when I was just ready for the race to take place. But yeah, they reminded me a lot that if I were to get injured, it would cost me a lot.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, I'm glad, obviously, you came out okay. You came out victorious with the big block of cheese. What do you do with that cheese now? How are you celebrating the big win?
I shipped it actually on Monday morning back to North Carolina from England. I am planning something with my friends and family, probably an unveiling of the cheese. We might want to get NC State involved, and I really want to just celebrate with North Carolina and NC State alum and students, anyone really who supports NC State and like North Carolina. It's 8 pounds. So my friends and family cannot eat 8 pounds of cheese. That's an enormous amount. So I just want to share this experience with anyone who really wants to be a part of it.
Yeah, I love it. And hopefully this is the first. I know a lot of NC State fans are pointing to this as like a curse breaker, that now that you won this, yeah, NC State now, they're going to start winning, and we'll all look back at you as the one that started this whole thing.
Yeah, I hope that is true, because being an NC State fan is very difficult. We cannot catch a break.
No. So hopefully this gets them going after you made it down there to get the cheese this past weekend for the big win. She's Abby Lampe. Go watch the video if you haven't already. It is crazy. It is wild. And she was the big winner, getting to that 8-pound block of wheel of cheese in England as she continues her travels this summer. Abby, appreciate you taking some time out, because I know you're busy and you got a lot of better things going on than talking to us about this. But I appreciate you taking time out. Glad you made it out without any sort of serious injury. And congratulations on winning the cheese this past weekend.
Thank you so much.
Hey, pleasure's all ours. Appreciate the time. Abby Lampe, who won that event this past week. And again, if you haven't seen the video, go watch it. It's crazy. And when you're watching it, I saw the headlines first that she won and she's from NC State and she's originally from North Carolina. And then I saw the video afterwards and somebody had to point out that that was her. And I thought, that's the person that ended up winning? She's just tumbling down the hill. I don't see the joy in it, but good for her. It's something she wanted to do. She won. And now you get the national publicity. You're going on Australian TV. The Morrow Midday Show, of course, and you get an 8-pound block of cheese to take home with you as the victory. Trent, is this something you would ever be willing to do?
No, Abby has a lot more courage than myself, because there is no way that you could pay me enough money to tumble down a hill at probably speeds of 30 to 45 miles an hour, just absolutely going with no control over yourself. No, Luke, I'm good to go. But that's why she's a champion. She's an absolute champion and deserves that wheel of cheese.
Yeah, certainly. Now, what I love is they added the added hurdle that it rained for 3 days straight. So not only is it like a steep hill that people, you just can't run down, everybody falls down. Then you add in the fact that it rained, so now it's all muddy too.
Right.
So good luck trying to keep your footing. And it's wild that these people just line up. Now, you saw like a documentary?
Yeah, so they did a full, I believe it's a 35-minute documentary. It's a series on Netflix about certain sports in different countries that are a little bit, weird, or we would think weird. Like, there's a gladiator sport in Italy that still goes on. A lot of things go on around the world that we don't know, like this cheese race.
Yeah.
And that was the first episode. It is, one, very historical for this town and for the community as a whole. But two, it's just a really cool thing that they do where you can get seriously hurt, and people do every single year.
Yeah, it's wild. So people just line up and you go down the hill. But, like, as soon as you take a few steps, right, don't they all tumble? Like,
yeah,
do people
you just start falling.
Yeah, you don't actually make it down.
You know, and there was one guy that was on the documentary who was kind of the superstar of the cheese race, if you will. And he kind of had a system. He would take about 10 to 15 steps and still be on his feet, which was incredibly, incredibly surprising. But now, like, there's a lot of people who take two steps, and their goal is just they wrap up and they start tumbling and hope they finish in first.
It's wild. And I love that she filmed the other races and was watching film.
Watching film.
And I love that she scouted out the area. She went there Friday. She walked down, didn't try to run, but she scouted the area. She was watching film. I love it. That's how you win one of these races. And I also love that she referenced, I wish I remember the name, she just said it a few moments ago, but the woman that won four of them, that's like the big star. You win four of these things. I love the tradition around this thing. That, as Trent said, like, it's a big deal over there. And I remember we talked about it on the show a while ago. I don't know if it was around the Olympics, and I was coming up with other sports that we should add to the Olympics. Maybe that's when I first came across this. But I've known about this for a little while. And then the fact that somebody from North Carolina visiting over there won this past week, and I thought, well, that's just perfect. We got to talk about this. I love it.
Should be an Olympic sport. There's no doubt about it. These athletes running down this hill, are you kidding? They just getting balls, Luke. That's it. They just wrap up and roll down a hill. What kind of toughness we talking about here?
Seriously. I would never do it. I would never think of doing it. People get injured. As she said, the woman that won broke her collarbone a couple years ago. No thank you. If you watch the video, looks like a lot of hard tumbles, including her. And she's kind of going, at one point at least, she's going like backwards, right? Which is almost worse. At least if you're, I think it's worse. I don't know. I've never really fallen down a hill. But I would imagine if you're falling forward, at least you can like see what's coming. When you're going backwards, like you're just going ankles overhead, you know, keep going back. Like, you don't know what's coming next, how much longer you have to go. You can't really see your bearings around you. That's tough. All the while, she ends up winning the cheese. 8 pounds of cheese. What would you do with the cheese?
I mean, you know, probably make a massive charcuterie board out of it. No doubt it's probably fine aged cheese. So yeah. I would definitely, try to get a couple sharp boards out there before the cheese went bad, if you will.
I think, I tell you what, you put that cheese in my household, I think my father could go through it pretty quick. 8 pounds.
You make a pasta bowl out of it. You know, dig out the middle and make pasta.
Hey, that's not a bad idea.
Come on now.
He puts cheese on everything. We could use an 8 pound wheel of cheese. Oh, the way that we got to get cheese in the house. Congrats to Abby. Glad we were able to link up. That went seamless for somebody, traveling all over the place. We were able to join up with her and talk about the experience from this past weekend. Watch the video if you haven't. It's wild, it's quirky, it's fun. And it should be in the Olympics because I've always said I'm not a big Olympic guy. There's not a lot of Olympic sports I would watch, but I would watch this. Just a bunch of people falling down a muddy hill after a block of cheese. And if you're unfamiliar, maybe I should have explained this right off the top, but they roll down the cheese right ahead of the people, and then they go running after the cheese, and nobody stays on their feet. And as Trent said, you get into a ball, and you roll down, and whoever gets down to the cheese wins.
You tumble down and hope for the best. It's kind of like skydiving. You know, you just jump out of the plane and see what happens. Like, something could go wrong, something could go very right. And for Abby's case, she won the whole damn thing.
Yeah, and that's why I would never skydive either. I'm never rolling down a hill for a block of cheese, and I'm not skydiving either. No, thank you. And fortunately, she made it out okay. When we come back, is Cam Newton delusional? It's the Moore Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
Everybody needs love. Everybody needs love. Everybody needs love. You're no exception.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Appreciate the time. Last segment from Abby Lampe, who just graduated about a month ago from NC State, traveling the world now this summer, and was in England this past weekend to win the cheese race in Gloucester, where they just tumble down an 8 pound wheel of cheese down a steep hill, and everybody goes tumbling after it. She was the big winner and now has become a national star. Appreciate Abby joining us to break it all down last segment. If you ever miss anything from the show, you can always catch it on demand. Just search ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcasts, and you can find the show podcasted there. You can always join the conversation. Get to us on Twitter, at Morrow Middays. Head over to charlestonsportsradio.com, click on our show page, and there you could leave a comment for the show. You can always text the show, 843-608-1734. I remembered it this time. And you can always join the conversation on the phones as well. 843-721-9500 to give us a call. Let's go to the phones because Jim is with us. Jim, what's going on? How are you?
I'm okay. Just to let you know, there's a basketball game tonight.
Yeah.
I apologize. I thought it was last night. that I wanted to let you know. Yesterday, I get in the car by myself, and I go over to Arby's and get myself a steakhouse hamburger. Mm-hmm. They're out.
Yes. I know.
Whatever. It's because of people like you. You have so many listeners that the one in Mount Pleasant doesn't have any. I'm very upset with you about that, because I had to sell it for a gyro sandwich, which was darn good, okay? I just thought I'd let you know. But the real reason I'm calling, because I went to lay down, take my nap, and listen to your show at 12:30, and then that girl came on, and I was laughing so hard I fell out of the bed, and I hurt my right shoulder. But I don't see my cheese. You owe me a pound of cheese, because I fell out of the bed like she fell down the hill. I looked at the video. So what I need you to do, I got to go for a massage. You think you can give me that same type of thing that Watson used to go get his massage? Yeah. I don't need a happy ending, but I need something done to me, you know?
Yeah, well, I think he was using Instagram, so I guess you could find plenty of massage therapists there that they could help you out.
Oh, gee, thanks a lot. But I enjoyed that. That is better than the bank robbery guy, and I'll tell you, I don't know. And the you're good. You are good, buddy. You are the best. And your assistant there, he's okay. He just doesn't answer the phone all the time, okay?
I appreciate you, Jim. Yeah, I'll try better to answer your call at your immediate notice and immediate needs.
We got to get like a bat phone, right? The direct line that went.
You know, I got a suggestion.
Yeah.
Since he lives so close to downtown, why don't we start a GoFundMe and put him up on one of those billboard signs on the highway for 24 hours, and we'll fund it through a GoFundMe account. I'll donate some money towards it and let him do his producer show from up there. What do you think of that idea?
Put him on the billboard put him actually himself on a billboard for 24 hours?
No, physically on the billboard. They have shelves there.
Yeah.
And we'll get a bucket truck to put him up there on the billboard.
That's pretty good for
he doesn't want to.
Yeah, that's pretty good for some sort of, I'll keep that in mind for some sort of show bet. When we have something big on the line, we'll have to come up with that. So
yeah, that's right, because he still hasn't gotten a pie in the face. We go out of our way to get a millionaire's pie after was the topic of that. Find all the ingredients and everything else, and that boy still does not have a pie in his face. I want to be there when it happens, by the way.
All right, we'll get you the cheese for your hurt shoulder. You can get the pie for Trent's face. That's an old classic radio bit, is the billboard. They used to do competitions like for Super Bowl tickets, right, where people would have to be up on the billboard, and they've used this in TV shows too. And like the last person left up there would be the winner of the contest. So I don't know how easy it would be to pull something off like that, but that's not a bad idea. Or even like you want to talk about like a fantasy football punishment. People always put the losers in the Waffle House for 24 hours. Put them up on a billboard, literally, up there on the catwalk up there for 24 hours and see how that goes.
I wouldn't mind that by any stretch of the imagination. I also think if we want to get into the billboard game, I mean, Bougie Boys Radio from 12 to 3, I think, would do numbers on a billboard on 526. So, Jim, if you want to start a GoFundMe for that, just let me know, pal. We'll pump it.
Yeah, a couple of good-looking men here put up on that billboard. Come on now. Caused a lot of accidents on the highway, let me tell you. I think it was Boy Meets World that did that. They were trying to get Super Bowl tickets. Was that in Boy Meets World? And it was cold, right? It was in Philadelphia. And there was an Eskimo eating ice cream instead while they were all freezing, and he was the one that won. I think that was Boy Meets World. Great show from the 90s. I'll keep that in mind moving forward. We'll get to the Cam Newton stuff. Actually, we'll do it now. It'll only take a moment. Cam Newton went on a podcast. He was talking about, he was making his case for Cam still being a top 32 quarterback in the league. And it was former NFL player Channing Crowder, who I give credit to for pushing back on him, you know, in person. We've seen Cam go on other podcasts, or just whenever athletes go on podcasts, and you may not get that pushback. Crowder played in the NFL. He hosts down in Miami. Pushed back a little bit on Cam. This is a bit of a long clip, but here was Cam Newton talking about, he was making the case for why he should still be a starting quarterback in the league.
There's not 32 guys better than me.
Still, you still feel the exact same.
Cam.
On my soul.
Cam.
On my soul. On my soul. Oh, I couldn't wait.
You knew, you knew it was coming.
Ooh, I couldn't wait. Ooh, I couldn't wait. Ooh,
you knew it was coming.
So ask your question and let's debate. Because at the end of the day, comparing apples to apples, you know, oranges to oranges, certain situations for certain situations. And if you think that I couldn't be on somebody's team right now, you a damn fool.
As a starter,
you, man,
as
listen.
A starter, as a franchise, as a Super Bowl contender, bro, Cam, you are big as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to be a quarterback, bro, mm-hmm. you are a defensive end playing quarterback. Bro, I love you. I draft you to my teams on Madden.
Right.
And I trade for you.
Right. We ain't talking
but
about
right
that.
Now, bro, about, you are 33 years old.
Yes, sir.
You done got old.
Yeah.
You're one of the best 32 quarterbacks in the world right now. Cam, I cannot accept that. I can't accept it.
That I'm not.
I saw what you did in New England.
Mm-hmm.
When you went back to Carolina, I saw what happened. Like the proof's in the pudding.
The New England experience was a fucked up situation. I was still learning the offense 7 to 8 weeks into the season. That was.
In what regards was it messed up?
Okay, the I'm learning systems mentally, right? Mm-hmm. As a quarterback, it's not just can you catch. It's not just can you can disguise that. We all been around teams where it's like ready break. Hey, what I got?
Right.
As a quarterback, you have to look the part, act the part, and be the part, mm-hmm. right? So there was countless hours with Jed Fish. There was countless hours with Josh McDaniels. There was countless hours with so many different people trying to teach me certain things, and it was just brain overload. So it was times I'm going to the line, and I'm still thinking. I'm thinking about the enunciation of the play. I'm thinking about forgetting my motions. I'm thinking about my sight adjust. I'm thinking about certain things. So that's the f***ed up situation. Did I know it? Yes. To the degree that I needed to know it in order to show the world that I'm still Cam Newton? No, right. I did. But I put myself in that situation.
That was Cam Newton yesterday. Now, I think in regards to the last part he said of that clip about, you know, not knowing it being a new system in New England, not knowing everything perfectly, I'd say that's the case anywhere. That's going to be the same case if you join any team this year. You played in Carolina with the same head coach your whole career. Then you had to go to New England. You came back to Carolina last year. It's a different system, different coaches. That's what happens. It's like learning a whole other language. And, you know, certainly for a guy later on in their career, that's what makes like what Tom Brady did so impressive. And they got off to a bit of a slow start. But there's always that learning curve with a new team, especially for a quarterback, because there's so much that they have to relearn in that new team. And so for Cam, using that as like some sort of defense, well, I would also say that's going to be the case wherever he goes. But clearly Cam Newton has not been the same guy in the last couple of years. Now, if you want to tell me he could be a starting quarterback in the league, I would push back on that. But maybe on some sort of team desperate for a quarterback. But the question, the follow-up in that clip was, you know, like on a Super Bowl contender, a franchise quarterback? And the answer to that question would be certainly not. Like, if you put him on the Buffalo Bills or the Bills winning the AFC, I do not think so. I think that's a huge drop-off. There's a reason why the Patriots don't have him around. The Patriots got rid of him for a rookie in Mac Jones, and they went to the playoffs. They had a better record with the rookie Mac Jones. But if you want to sell me on the idea of, like, say, the Seahawks take a flyer on Cam Newton, all right. Might as well. I mean, I don't think Cam Newton's good enough to be a starting quarterback for 17 games. But Seattle's also looking at Drew Locke and Geno Smith, and they also probably want to be bad this year. So you might as well take a flyer on Cam Newton if you want. That's probably the only one. Carolina, I would say if there wasn't history, maybe. But I think I'd rather have Sam Darnold. I think we saw that last year. Sam Darnold's better when available than Cam Newton. And otherwise, the only other team I would think of as a potential option would be like the Houston Texans. But at this point, if I'm the Texans, I'd just rather see what Davis Mills has. And I have no problem being bad right now. So let me see if Davis Mills could be my guy of the future where Cam Newton doesn't have that future. He's a banged-up quarterback in his 30s. That's not as mobile as he once was. There's no future there. The only reason you bring him in was to try to help you win now, and I don't think he has that capability. The only options I would see for a Cam Newton would be teams that are really desperate, Carolina, Seattle, Houston, but I don't think he's an upgrade. The only one realistically would maybe be Seattle, but I would also make the case that for the Seahawks, you might as well see if Drew Locke could be a guy for you. And if not, you'll go draft a quarterback next year. But Locke is still young enough. I don't think he's a long-term answer either. But you might as well see. We already know what Cam Newton is, and the Seahawks, realistically, are not going to go win a Super Bowl now, so why bring in that veteran? Is he technically, you know, like a top 32 talented quarterback? Is he number 32 on the list? Maybe. We could argue who's better, Cam Newton or Drew Locke. But at this point in his career, he's not the same Cam Newton as he once was, and I don't think he brings much value to a franchise. Plus, he's also a big brand. I mean, he's doing a lot of these interviews. In that clip, he's got, you know, like the cigar, the glasses on, likes to hear himself talk. And you bring that into your locker room as well. Like Carolina last year, when he was on the field for the first time, led to a touchdown, was a great play, but then he's yelling, like, I'm back. It's more about Cam and his brand than the team that, in the case of like Seattle, what you're trying to build, that culture you're trying to build, the young team restarting. I just don't see any sort of landing spot, and I don't think it's realistic, and that's why I'm glad Channing Crowder, you know, kind of pushed back on the idea that, hold up, right? No, you're no longer that same guy from 4 years ago that could be that franchise quarterback, unfortunately, because when he was healthy and playing at a high level, he was one of the more fun quarterbacks to watch in the league. When you play that way, it leads to a shorter shelf life, and he's just not the same quarterback. We've seen that last couple years. He was pretty bad in New England. He was not a real option in Carolina last year. He's been on the shelf for a while here. Teams aren't signing him. It can go quick for these guys. It went quick for Marino, for Peyton Manning, just a little bit later on in their careers because they didn't take the same number of hits. But a lot of times for these quarterbacks, we see, like going after that cheese, where it's a steep hill and you fall quick. Right, Peyton Manning is playing well, and then the very next year, it looks like he's clearly over the hill, pun intended, right, past his prime and needed to retire. The same with Marino. That last year was lousy, and it happened quick. Played pretty well his second to last year. By the time he gets to Marino's final season, it's like, whoa, what happened? Brett Favre, same thing. Played great in 2009, came back in 2010. It's like, whoa, who's this guy? He doesn't belong in the league. It happens quick, and I think it happened to Cam Newton, where you cross that line, and no longer does he have a starting spot left for him in the league. We'll get to Trent's takes when we come back. More Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
In the life just like a movie star. Oh, my empire. She got a love in me starting. To the sound of the guitar, yeah, yeah. Play by Carlos Santana.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. We were talking last segment about Cam Newton. Somebody asked if the Detroit Lions could be a fit. I don't think so. I think I'd rather have Jared Goff. And I don't see Newton fitting in there. Go with Goff, and then you probably draft your quarterback a year from now. Now, if you're trying to lose games for that quarterback draft class next year, then maybe you roll with Cam, and it makes it a little bit easier to lose some games. I think you roll with Jared Goff. Goff's been in a Super Bowl more recently than Cam, and he will at least keep you, for the most part, on schedule. I just think at this point in his career, even he's a better quarterback than Cam Newton. I'd rather have Jared Goff. And I think Goff fits better in what Dan Campbell's building, too. Hey, we do it around this time each and every day. Find out what's on the mind of the producer. It's time for Trent's Takes.
What's on the mind of the Morrow Midday Show producer?
Draft Luke Morrow.
That's Panther. Right.
It's time for Trent's Takes.
The Radio Cowboy will be coming, and he's coming soon, folks. Luke, before we get into any sports talk, we do have to mention a couple movies that are coming out that I think you might be interested in. First one is the sequel to the Joaquin Phoenix Joker movie. They have started writing that, and I believe they have began filming as well. How are you feeling? Did you end up seeing that Joker movie with Joaquin Phoenix by chance? Okay, and how were your feelings about it when it first came out?
I liked it. I've always said I thought it'd be better as a standalone.
Sure.
If it was just about, it could be just a random guy. I thought there shouldn't have been any sort of connection to the Batman universe, and I thought it would have been a better movie just on its own instead of some sort of prequel or origin story to the whole Batman storyline.
Right, where the Joker came from and how he got his start. Yeah, I understand that. Now they're making a second one. We will see how it goes. And we'll also see how much weight Joaquin Phoenix loses for this last one, because I believe he lost over 100 pounds for the role in 2019. So we'll see if this is as creepy as the first one. Because, Luke, I went and saw it in theaters opening day. I was very pumped because I'm a big Joker guy. Really, The Dark Knight's one of my favorite movies of all time. Big Joker guy. I was impressed. I enjoyed it. It's obviously Batman wasn't involved with the film, but it was a good movie. We'll see how the sequel goes. And also, Luke, this one hits a little closer to the Tomorrow Midday Show. Julia Garner, I don't know if you've heard about this, has officially been cast to portray Madonna in the pop star's upcoming biopic. I'm pumped up about this. Julia Garner, folks, if you don't know, plays Ruth in Luke and I's arguably our favorite show, that being Ozark. Look at what Ozark did for Julia Garner. I know she was in stuff before, but now being cast as Madonna, gotta be one of her, probably the biggest role she's ever gotten, Luke. Pumped for Julia Garner. She's an absolute legend. I love her character in Ozark. Season 4 gets a little interesting with Ruth. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
But I love Julia Garner. She's awesome, and I can't wait to see her play a completely different role than what she was playing in Ozark. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, she's a great actress, and she did a great job in Ozark. She could play Madonna, and then she could also play Justin Timberlake when they do his movie, too. So that'll be something. She's in Inventing Anna, that new show that's pretty popular on Netflix. I haven't watched that at all yet. I've heard mixed reviews, but she's got like an accent. I think her character may be from Russia. It's based on a true story. She's a really talented actress. I don't know if I'll check out the Madonna movie, but I think she'll do a great job.
Oh, Lou, come on. You'll tune in. Who doesn't love Madonna? Everybody loves Madonna.
She's all right.
Well, we might play some Madonna towards the end of the show here just to get you pumped up for the movie. Now, Luke, game 3 tonight, Warriors and Celtics. Line is sitting currently at -3.5, favoring the Boston Celtics. We're going trendy predictions here because we're back in it, baby. And here's what we're doing, Luke. We're not touching the number because I'm very nervous about the 3.5. This could be a blowout, no doubt. Game 1 in Boston, obviously. The crowd's going to be absolutely rompous. I'm not sure if Steph Curry's going to have the same game that he has had in the past two games. Arguably, if the Celtics still guard him the way they've been guarding him, which is very interesting and kind of off coverage a little bit, he's going to have another 30-point night. But I will say, I got two overs for you, Luke, as far as player props go. Klay Thompson, who has struggled this entire series the first two games, I'm thinking game 6 Klay pops out tonight. He has a big one in Boston. Give me the over for Klay Thompson at 18.5. Also, another guy who's going to have a big game. I like this number because the number is low. Jordan Poole, over 12.5 points. I like that as well. I don't see probably not a 30-point night from Steph, so I do believe that the role players will step up and play well. Klay Thompson's got to get it going or the Warriors might be in some trouble, especially if they lose this game. But we've been talking about must-win games, Luke. This is a must-win for the Celtics, not a must-win for the Warriors. I do believe this is a must-win game for the Celtics. If you go down 2-1 against the Warriors, yeah, we've seen LeBron come back 3-1 before. But if you go down 2-1 against the Warriors, that's the only team in the NBA that you would feel very uncomfortable going down to in an NBA Finals series with how much experience that they've had throughout their entire run.
I do agree with you. It's a 1-1 series, but there's not equal weight on these two teams tonight, despite it being an even series. Yeah, because if the Celtics, if they fall behind, not only are you trailing the series, you're also trailing home court. So the Warriors would have the advantage and home court. For Golden State, just like Boston the last two games, for Golden State, the objective, just win one of these two. And if you split, you just have to win at home, and you win the series, potentially in 7. For Boston, you got to try to win both of these two, and then you're up 3-1, and you're sitting pretty. So tonight, of course, is a huge swing game in Boston. With that said, though, I'm going to speak out of both sides of my mouth because I do think the Celtics win tonight, but I still think the Warriors win the series.
How are you talking about what about the point spread? How are you feeling about the point spread? Or are you going to do that later in the show?
No, I'd probably take Boston.
Okay.
What, 3.5, you said?
3.5, and it has been fluctuating down to 3 and then up to 4 as well.
Yeah, I think the Celtics win, so I might as well take them at the points because as we've seen in this playoffs, you have a pretty good chance that if the team's going to win, they're going to win by more than 3.5, right? Even in this NBA Finals, we've had two games decided by double digits. So if you think a team's going to win, you might as well take them at the points because we haven't had a lot of games decided by fewer than 3.5 points. So I'll take my chances. I think the Celtics win tonight, so I might as well take them to cover the 3.5.
Gotcha. Now, Luke, has Drew Brees gotten a little unfair shake from the not only the Twitter world, but also TV networks across the nation? Now, look, we talk a lot about broadcasters on this show, and it's a very big topic, and we enjoy talking about it, Luke. as far as Drew Brees goes in his game calling, I will give him the benefit of the doubt here, because the one game I listened to Drew Brees, because I usually shut it off, play some music, because some guys I just can't listen to, but Drew Brees did one Saints game for NBC, and it was a game that he was getting honored at halftime, and it was a very awkward, the entire broadcast was incredibly awkward. I thought he did great in the studio, you know, with Maria Taylor and all those folks. I think I really enjoyed that, but he is not returning to NBC, and all of the other jobs right now are filled up across all of the platforms. Is Drew Brees getting, you know, an unfair shake at this whole thing, or was this kind of a Jason Witten situation where, you know, he didn't have a lot of experience, we threw him out there to see if it works, and it didn't work, and who knows what will happen with Tom Brady? I'm sure he's going to be fantastic, but Drew Brees no longer with NBC, and it looks like, from a couple articles that have been written, not a lot of people think he's going to get a chance anywhere else.
No. I think that's a perfect comparison with Jason Witten. I'll say I don't think Brees got an unfair shake. The only thing that NBC didn't help him with was they gave him a playoff game his first year. I don't think he was ready, and it was the first playoff game. It was the Raiders-Bengals, so it was like the first impression of the NFL playoffs. You're listening to Drew Brees. I just don't think he was ready for that moment. First year as a broadcaster, he was doing some Notre Dame games, and now he's going to get an NFL playoff game, and he was the classic, like, would just state really obvious things, didn't add anything. I think he is better in the studio. Reports were he didn't want to do studio. He wants to do games. I just don't think he's good enough in the booth. I mean, maybe he will over time, but not right now to be doing playoff games in the NFL or to be doing Sunday Night Football, which is what NBC has. And that was their plan. He was supposed to replace Chris Collinsworth, and then NBC realized, like, nope, this isn't it. I think him and Jason Witten's a good comparison because they're two great guys, good careers. Doesn't mean they're going to be good broadcasters. I think Philip Rivers would be a good broadcaster because he has a personality. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick, who just retired, good personality, would be a good broadcaster. When did you ever listen to an interview of Drew Brees and think, like, I don't know, just see any sort of personality? He'd always say good things. He'd fire up his teammates, but it doesn't mean he'd be captivating in a broadcast booth. So I understand why NBC's no longer interested, and it looks like nobody's going to hire him to be a broadcaster this year.
Yeah, I feel like there's a little difference between, like, the robot quarterbacks and the quarterbacks that come out and have a little bit of personality. Not saying Drew Brees is a robot, obviously, but it does seem like he needs to go recharge the batteries and figure out what's going on in his career. Now, Luke, speaking of the NFL, you know I like to go through my division odds, see who's at the top, see who's winning. It still perplexes me to this day, Luke Morrow, that the AFC North, that the Super Bowl runner-ups, the Cincinnati Bengals, have the third best odds in their division with only an improved team. They didn't get better. They didn't get worse. They just improved. And I think that's the most important part, especially with the O-line. The Cleveland Browns, who we have no idea if their starting quarterback, Deshaun Watson, will be playing for them. I hope he doesn't, personally, but after reading that New York Times article, I don't think he should play this year at all whatsoever. Jacoby Brissett. So right now, the odds makers are thinking that, one, Deshaun Watson will be playing throughout this season if they have the second best odds, and two, even if they don't play, they still have a better chance than the Bengals do to win this division. That perplexes me. The Ravens have the best odds, and Lamar Jackson's nowhere to be found. So I just still don't understand. Luke, maybe you can help me out a little bit more with the Bengals, but I think they should have the best odds in this division by far.
Theoretically, they probably earn the right. But I do understand the skepticism, because I wouldn't call what they did last year some sort of fluke. That's not the case. When you win those games in the playoffs and get to a Super Bowl, or just get to the playoffs, football's a long enough season where, you know, it's not some sort of fluky break. But there is skepticism that maybe they overachieved. Can they do that again? And you look at that division. That division's really tough. What's interesting is you have the two Super Bowl teams from a year ago are probably in the two best divisions in football. Who do you give a better chance of winning the division this year, the Bengals or the Rams?
Luke, looking at it right now, I mean, the NFC West, obviously you got the Cardinals, right? And then you have the 49ers. Trey Lance is going to be their quarterback, so I'd probably give right now the Rams a better chance because, one, I don't trust Arizona and Kyler Murray. I think he's a great player, but I don't trust him. And Seattle, give me a break. You know, like they're going to be kind of like the Steelers are in that division, where teams aren't really too worried about them come the postseason. I don't know, Luke. I it might just be the young hype boy me being like, I absolutely love the Bengals and I love this young team. But when you look at the roster, look how good they played last year. A new system for a lot of these guys. And to add very good offensive linemen and a couple good defenders as well, I think the only question for the Bengals this upcoming season would have to be their secondary. And we saw that at the end of the Super Bowl. Very clearly, Eli Apple just couldn't cover Cooper Kupp one-on-one, and they didn't have any help. They have Jesse Bates, who is a very good free safety. But besides that, they don't have a marquee guy. Mike Hilton's towards the end of his career. So I think the secondary is the only concern. And in that division, I mean, are you really worried about the Ravens, you know, throwing 60-yard bombs at you? Maybe about the Browns, but right now I just don't see anybody competing with them.
Yeah, I do think they got better this offseason. I think the division will be better, too, this year because, you know, the Ravens will be healthier. And if Deshaun does play, that'll be an upgrade for the Browns. I'm with you, though. I don't think he should play at all this year. We'll see what happens. And the Steelers are always just a tough matchup. So it'll be interesting to see. But I'll say this about teams that lose in the Super Bowl, right? The Panthers, when they lost, didn't follow it up well. When the Falcons lost in the Super Bowl, we haven't been the same since. The Eagles, they won the Super Bowl and didn't follow it up great since then. And then even like the 49ers, when they lost to the Chiefs, they were back in the playoffs this past year. But the following year, after losing the Super Bowl, the Niners went 6-10. So I think there's some built-in skepticism that we see a lot of teams get to the Super Bowl. It's so hard to sustain success in the NFL when it is such an unpredictable sport that I think there's a lot of skeptics that a team could keep that up 1 year to the next. And if you have a roster like the Rams or you have a quarterback like Tom Brady, it's a little bit easier to predict or rely on. When you have the Bengals and Zach Taylor and a lot of young pieces, I think people just expect them to take a step back, just naturally take a step back this year after the success a year ago. But we'll see. Once we finally arrive at football season this fall. When we come back, we'll wrap up hour two. It's the Moore Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers. Lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
Wrapping up hour two on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Hey, in the changing landscape of college sports, did you see that Duke hired essentially a GM? And Miami football has already done this as well. So this is a new little wrinkle into college sports. And when we coming up at the top of the hour with hour three, we'll circle back to Clemson and the job they've done here over the past couple of days already this week in their recruiting as they adjust how they look at the current state of college sports. But I find this as an interesting trend. Duke basketball, Miami football, bringing in essentially a GM now to overlook things and to have more control and another person that's zeroing in on that recruiting. And then with that, I'm sure name, image, and likeness as well. But somebody above the coach to help with roster management and recruiting. So we keep talking about, you know, college sports becoming like professional sports, the college football becoming like the NFL. Well, at least Miami, we got one now GM in college football, and I'm sure this will start to become a trend as well moving forward. Another little wrinkle to the new state of college sports. Coming up, speaking of college sports, I think with the LIV Golf Tour, the golf world can turn into a lot of, like, college football. Plus, Clemson getting some wins on the recruiting trail this week, and I'll explain why. And the most improved college football teams by conference this year. We'll get to that coming up. Plenty more to do still. Hour three next. It's the Moore Midday Show on ESPN Radio.